Hello. Hello
and welcome.
Okay, to the everyone.
Yeah, that took a weird.
Spooky.
So unnatural for you and me to do that. It's like, this is really dumb.
You don't have to turn your head like you're like some ceramic doll. Like, that's just
freaking Annabelle there in the corner. Be quiet, everyone. I'm introing.
We're introing.
Hug me. Hug me.
Okay, welcome to
Ransom.
Post podcast. Welcome. Red welcome. Rum. Stop. I can't take it.
Red
welcome.
Rum. Red Rum. Red
Murder.
Rum. Red
Murder.
Rum. Red Rum.
Hello, Mrs. Torres. Hello. Oh my God. Okay, so today we brought Daffron back in today. So we've got Lacey, we've got Mark, we've got Standard Tom, we've got D-Lock, and we've got Daffron all here in the barn today. Okay, I want to start off today's episode talking about what's happening in Orange Nebula. So we have recently selected a new office space that we are going to be in.
I can't wear big beanbags.
I've been wanting beanbags in an office for so long. Are we really going to get beanbags?
It's a big deal. We're moving from one state to another. It's a huge deal move, what?
Is 13
it
miles.
3 miles? Is it 13 miles?
I don't even know. I think it's max.
Less than that.
It's like 5 miles away.
And what was...
About 5 hours in traffic.
That's true.
It's true. Yeah.
Can we explain what prompted this? What actually prompted the move from Portland?
So the Portland space, the landlord was not able to keep their promise of expanding our space with a big mezzanine loft, stairwell, that all the stuff that we were signed for. Well, it was part of our agreement. And so, you know, it was October and then it was Christmas and then it was, oh, it's going to be another year. And I'm like, no, it's not.
We're like, bye, thanks.
Yeah, okay, thanks, bye.
Thanks, bye.
So back to Washington. Which is good news for Washington residents not having to pay Oregon state tax.
Amen.
Yay.
Also, Washington's just a dope state. I love Washington.
It is. It's definitely one of two dope states, or I guess there's a lot now.
How many states are dope states?
Stop.
I don't know. Anyway, it's great. And the new space is pretty phenomenal. We will send pictures when we have it all decked out and all of our loot in there, including giant beanbags.
It has good walk-in, which I was really worried about.
What do you like about the walk-in?
I was sad to leave the Portland space because right next to the Portland space, it's on the river, and there's the Tillicum Bridge, which is this footbridge / bus bridge that goes over the river, and you could walk and just right out the office door, this beautiful walk. And I am a big walker. It's important for my creativity. And if we got in some weird suburban... boring, weird area where the walking was terrible, I would have been really disappointed no matter how cool the building is. But this is also right on the water. And apparently, I haven't done all the walks yet, but Daffron was telling me that you can walk all the way from Fort Vancouver to our office without being on main roads. And I'm all about that. So now I'm sold on the move.
Way further. Yeah, you can go even further than that. This is the before we were on the Willamette River, which is much smaller. Now we're on the Columbia River, and it's really being built up, especially on the west side. So you got some really nice, there's a pier that they just put out there. It's pretty sick.
I'll miss Portland. I'll miss Portland. Portland in the summer. Portland in the summer was really charming, I think.
We're going to miss Cova. We're going to miss Tight Tacos. We're going to miss, what's the name of the sandwich joint?
Baker's Mark. Shout out to Baker's Mark.
But we've got Little Conejo.
That's true.
We've got Mighty Bowl.
And we've got Relevant.
Thai options at the Kazoo. There's three Thai restaurants.
Albina.
Yeah. This is fascinating listening to everyone outside the region.
They're like, cool.
They're like, yeah, great. You guys have restaurants. So
beside moving into the new space, we've been, you know, wrapping up, working on all the manufacturing for Vindication and whatnot. And we've been trying to take a little bit of time outside of that to get really clear on the directions that we want to move in with both Orange Nebula and Blue Blazes. So, you know, as you guys have been working through that process, like specifically Mark and Tom are, you know, kind of leading some of those conversations. What have come out of those conversations? Who are we? Where are we going?
Well, for anybody who missed kind of the first couple episodes of the podcast, we have two faces of the company. Blue Blazes is the service side. So we've been in business for quite a long time doing creative services, branding, identity, those types of things. Orange Nebula is kind of the newly formed product side, where we have Vindication and other exciting products that we're doing, some of which are board games and some of which are not. And so, yeah, we've spent a lot of time kind of thinking about how we can build both of those and be more selective in both of those to serve our purpose of inspiring people to think bigger. That's the way I would say it, but usually there's just a bunch of horseplay.
That was a wicked witch of horseplay. That was commitment. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of soul searching on both sides. How do we do what we want to be doing? You know, we don't want to be doing work for other people. We want to be doing work that fills us up and inspires people in both arms of the business. And, you know, what does that look like? How do we facilitate that? How do we structure it so that's possible? We're starting to realize that logistically we may need a few more bodies because we're all bogged down wearing three hats. And so no one's able to do the things they're most passionate about with the passion that those things deserve. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which side does each of us pour more energy into? And so, yeah, it's a really reflective time for us. Moving to the new space has, I think, been well-timed in that regard because we kind of get to have this fresh start across the board mm-hmm. in everything.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on. There's not a lot to talk about, yeah. But it feels like there's a ton going on.
Mm-hmm. We've got a community question that we want to share. But before I do that, we didn't even tell them we've been working on the solo mode for Vindication, too.
We have been.
And that's been fun.
That has been fun.
There's stuff we'll be sharing soon that's really fun. I won't drop it here, but it's been really cool. The solo mode progression has been fun to watch, and the new things that are coming through the pipeline with that, I'm really excited for us to get to share.
Yeah, it's deepened the story and it's introduced a very interesting new character. I'll leave it at that.
There's a specific community question that we wanted to answer as a group before we got into the kind of main topic of today. So will you read that for us, Tom?
Yeah. So the question, I think they were referring to board games when they wrote it, but it applies to everyone here, whether they're board game designers or not. Mm-hmm. And the question was, when you're designing, where do you draw inspiration from? What do you think, Mr. Mark Daffron? What's your inspiration?
Oh, wow. Inspiration for me comes from everywhere. You know, there's a tendency to go right on Google and start just doing an image search or what have you. And just because it's the easiest, it's the path of least resistance. But for me, if I get out a little bit and go for a walk, like Tom was just talking about, that works for him. Same for me, like, or just go out without my phone, sit out in the backyard with coffee and just stare at the birds. And like, that's when my brain kind of like shuts off from all the, you know, busy work I have to get done and then starts focusing more on the just creative time. And I think, you know, as a society, we're almost afraid to be alone with our thoughts. Like people just constantly have to be connected and
distracted.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we're a distracted, like anxious bunch of crazy people.
Yeah, I think that's totally
accurate. It's okay to disconnect. And, you know, I'm doing more and more of that. The older I get, the more I, you know, do more of that. So for me, that really helps me, just disconnecting.
How about you, Derek?
You know, I think that really summed it up quite well. I think, you know, when people think classically about like what getting inspiration is, people automatically think, oh, you go look at things, but that's rarely ever the case. I think, you know, some of the most inspirational, quote unquote, times that I've had creatively are ones I didn't even know I was having until I thought about them later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just kind of getting out there and just living life, I think is a great way to just mm-hmm. live creatively and just observe things, because kind of like what you were saying, Daffron, you know, there's just this incessant need to always be looking at a screen or something like that. And, you know, sometimes it's nice, you know, while you're waiting for somebody to get out of the bathroom or something like that, like don't necessarily look at your phone, but like look at the wallpaper. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at the cabinetry,
the clouds.
Yeah, if you're outside. Or yeah, I just think being more observant of what's around us is a great way.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that we discount having like a reference library in your office, which we do.
Yeah, or to looking on Dribbble. I do that a lot.
Yeah, or we do a healthy amount of that. But
Yeah, outside is huge for me. Most of my design is creative writing or world building or mechanics for games. And for me, it's absolutely walk around outside. Like I'll open Evernote and put, you know, a little prompt in there and then just go for a walk. And I'm just walking around and I'll suddenly like a blackout basically. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come to and I've got all these notes in my phone. I don't even know where I am. Mm-hmm. Walking at like pre-dawn for some reason is there's something that triggers in my mind being outside when the world is still and like the quiet is almost audible. It's just, it does some majestic thing in my brain.
It's like that for me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes I'll listen to music, particularly music from when I was younger, just because that triggers a nostalgia thing that for some reason triggers creativity in me. I don't know what that is. I will, just for the sake of pivoting away from going outside, I love drawing inspiration from other people's art, which I feel like I'm more free to do because I'm not creating art. You know, mm-hmm. so like I will just sit there on Pinterest or on ArtStation and just look through the, you know, just like science fiction characters, and I'll just flip through all these different images, or, you know, Studio Ghibli fan art or something like that. And I'll just flip through things and I'll be like, oh, a little boy with lanterns. You know, what would be a cool game is if this, that, you know, and so looking at people's art inspires me a lot. Mm-hmm. I love just spending hours flipping through things on Pinterest and building a board just called Game Inspiration.
Right. When I was a younger designer, I used to get a lot of inspiration from looking at world-class anything, world-class work. And as I've gotten older, I think I've started to realize that my mind is more capable than everything I've ever seen. And that sounds weird, but to make something new or to say, what if, in my mind, I am no longer limited to what I am seeing. I am free to go where I am, you know, where I can imagine. And so for me, yes, I am kind of inspired by looking, but there's a certain point at which only the sketchbook in my mind and some nonverbal music can really, like, I ride, you know, the waves of my imagination is kind of how I say it. And it sounds really weird, but there's nothing kind of like that disconnecting for me to stumble across different concepts and ideas without being constrained by how someone else has interpreted them. And maybe that's just me, but that's, it's just a little bit of an evolution for me.
4 for 4 on disconnect.
Yeah.
What inspires all your best thoughts, Lacey?
Well, it's hard because I have so many that come constantly.
All so many time. Best thoughts. How do you deal with them all?
I mean, really, as I'm thinking about you guys, I almost feel like I could, like, each of them I could see myself in. A lot of my quote unquote design is presentation design, right? So I'm preparing for a class that I'm teaching, you know, and so I know what I want to get across to people. So I start by just doing a lot of research on the topic. I research, I compile, and then I guess I take a break from it too. You know, I got all the research, which basically means I know what I'm going to say. But if I step away for a few days and then return to it, I feel like I'm able to, you know, put together the presentation that way. But I like what you said about looking at artists, but your art isn't, you know, your creativity isn't art. I think I look at adjacent fields too. Like, I like to watch comedians a lot. I'm not a comedian, but I do put funny things into my presentations, you know? And so if I can see how the comedian holds the audience's attention in a way that I want to hold my students' attention, I can draw from that and you know, put it into my presentations that make my education more impactful, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like the adjacent fields idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was fun, guys. I liked that. I feel like I learned a lot, like just listening to you guys too.
I feel like I want to disconnect from all of you and just like, go walk around in the woods for a few hours and have some ideas.
That's very co-worker-y of you.
We feel the same.
Yeah, you wish I would go walk around in the woods. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, so a little while ago, I came up with wanting to find a way to get Daffron in here and try to get him a little bit more involved in these. And I was teaching a class.
So we told him there'd be pizza. Here we are.
No pizza. I got a brioche crumb.
I was teaching a class and I was talking about how important it is to have your profile image on social media be very clear so that it was a brand mark that people could see and build a relationship with every time they saw. And as I was talking about that, it made me think about merch. So about merch and the way that, you know, if you have your brand on something, every time someone's seeing it, they're creating, you know, a deeper relationship with it. And so I thought, okay, let's do an episode focused on the science of merch. So, you know, why brands create merch, how you decide what to create, how and why it's impactful, and Father Merch is the source of wisdom on this.
It's true.
It just oozes.
We're doing the entire episode on merch.
Before we go too far, though, I have found that a lot of people, the word merch feels really natural to us. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, what are you talking about, merch?
It's a new school.
Okay.
Like, isn't everything merchandise? Like, so what is merch in this context?
Yeah, merch is promotional goods, basically everything from a ballpoint pen to a ball cap umbrella. I think the term merch kind of came from the whole band, touring band thing. Mm-hmm. Come visit us at our merch table, you know, buy our t-shirts. And so, yeah, it's just
It's basically promotional items.
Branded promotional items.
Promotional items. Okay.
Yeah.
But it has evolved past promotional almost to where the promotional is secondary. It's just branded materials. Some of it is so like you designer. Like when you say promotional items to me, it's almost like here's some ephemera like crap you get when you go to a trade show. But so much of this is light years beyond that.
Okay, so let's start with this. Let's start with a simple question. So if I'm a brand, convince me why it's a good idea to use merch, you know, to have merch as part of my overall business plan.
Okay. Let's say you're a landscape company.
Okay.
You know, you want to put your team, your employees in some sort of uniform item so that they can be identified, you know, show up to the job site looking smart. And so this is an opportunity not only to achieve that, but you can build equity and trust within your brand. If your guys or your girls are out there in uniforms, and then you can take it a step farther, you know, you can go simple logo placement, or you can, you know, come up with something cheeky on the back of the t-shirt that, and then you're extending that even farther, leveraging the assets even farther and drawing. You basically want to be memorable and draw attention to yourself and to your brand. And so it's to create awareness, to build trust. You know, there's tons more. Do you guys think of any off the top of your head that?
Everything that you show the world is a reflection of how much you value your own company.
Right.
So if you buy cheap stuff, and then what you're telling the world is you don't really value your company well enough to actually get good stuff for yourself, even though you may be trying to sell it to your customers, right? Which does not build trust, right? If you have a really classy, appropriate, clever, cheeky, whatever your brand values are, if you extend that across all channels in your brand through your merchandise, through your website, through all the other, you know, marketing efforts that you might have, they're telling a story to people, and people are super smart. They're going to figure out if you really are the type of people that they would want to work with. It doesn't matter how rational you want to be. It doesn't matter if you talk to them about professionalism or service. What you're trying to do is create an emotional engagement first. And then they will take the time to go through and figure out if there's a logical, rational reason to work with you.
I'm raising my hand.
Go Lacey.
When we say we're trying to create emotional engagement, can we define that? What is emotional engagement?
I can define that. The design shop side of things branded a company, and they do hydro seeding.
Okay.
If anybody knows what that is. or we all know what it is, but it's that blue slurry stuff they spray all over to
the side of the highway.
Is it actually seeds of grass in there? I don't know.
It's a combination of grass seed and fertilizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it and like
blue.
Has some.
And blue.
So blue people don't eat it. Yeah.
It has some adhesion qualities, I think. It sticks to the terrain so it doesn't blow away and all that. But anyway, we did a really cool logo for them, and they just did a simple, you know, uniform two-color logo on the front, two-color on the back, and we made matching hats. Right off the bat, like compared to what is kind of, this is kind of a case study compared to what they had before, you know, they got people asking like, how do I get that hat? What is that company? So, you know, they're in Costco and like, how do I get one of those hoodies? What is that? That's a cool brand. Oh, what's our Hydro Seed? So the client was like, wow, nobody ever asked us for a hat before. So right there, there's all these, what we're talking about, the emotional people are getting zany over it. They're like, that's cool, man. And
that's for a Hydro Seed company. If you are a company that people can get excited about, you know, that's only amplified.
Yeah. It speaks to the power of design.
Yeah, everybody visual needs language. A good brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're selling outhouses, you know, the honey bucket to you know, whatever.
So as I've kind of studied emotion and the way that emotion actually affects your brain's capacity to create memory, higher emotion emits chemicals that create more synapses. And the more synapses you have, the stronger a memory is. Okay. So if you have the ability to create these stronger emotions when someone sees something, then they actually have a stronger memory of that experience. And if you input the visual part of that, where you've got your brand there, that means that they've created a stronger relationship with your brand just by the experience they've had looking at it, right?
Yeah. And I'll roll into my little spiel here too. People make decisions with their whole brain, the left side and the right side, even though there's kind of evidence now that there's not really sides, but they have an emotional response before they rationalize. And so if the emotional response is not something that you're thinking about when you're designing, you may never get the opportunity to teach someone all of the benefits of what you're presenting. If it doesn't feel right, they won't do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how logical it is. If it doesn't feel like it, they won't do it. Mm-hmm. And so if you communicate well to both the emotional side and the rational side, you're going to have a very strong chance of winning.
Okay, so let's talk about what makes good merch versus bad merch. So
unload, buddy.
So what's bad? What's bad merch?
What's bad merch?
Cheap.
Yeah.
Stuff that doesn't really have value.
This is a very competitive market, like the whole merchandising and apparel, screen printing and decoration. People are competing over nickels and dimes and trying to get the price point down low. And you should never take shortcuts when it comes to presenting your brand.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have especially if you're starting out with a new business, you know, you don't have any equity established in your business. So why? No one knows about you. So perception is huge. It's like if you go to a business meeting and you hand somebody a business card that you printed on your inkjet printer that you're very proud of.
It has little perforations on it.
And it's like, wow, you didn't even take the time to spend $200 and do a couple hundred business cards. What does that immediately say about the person handing you that cheap, flimsy card?
Mm-hmm.
They don't take themselves seriously.
Or they cut corners.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the same thing, but there are so many people.
My business cards have corners cut off of it.
Her business cards
are two more corners out of that.
Her cards are like, I bet you when you hand those cards out, people are like,
every time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You guys are legit.
Someone's serious about what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But no, there's so many people offering printing services. And I mean, you can go anywhere. There's no shortage of that available. But yeah, don't source cheap apparel.
It's kind of like buying a nice car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you buy a Maserati or Ferrari and you're like, I love this car. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull up to Arco and then you put Arco in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing applies to your brand.
Yeah.
Spend all this money and equity on your brand.
And sometimes, like, you know, when you're trying to compare like something like an automobile, like a Hyundai or a BMW, obviously you're not comparing oranges to oranges. There are differences in quality. One thing that, you know, if you are going to compare apples to apples, for instance, you could take the same blank t-shirt from the same manufacturer, two different companies. One can have, you know, a screen printed tag that says the size of the shirt inside of it. It can have a little hem tag on the sleeve or the hem of the shirt. It can have multiple prints, print locations. It can show up in a bag that's branded, a polymer. We're working on a lot of this stuff ourselves. So
all of those things communicate.
It has a perceived value.
How you think mm-hmm. about what you're doing. You buy it, you get a t-shirt from a company who doesn't make t-shirts, right? Just a t-shirt from a brand that you're associated with. And after two washes, all the ink kind of starts to peel off and it turns a different color and the hem starts to come undone. It starts to make you wonder, why didn't they care about this? And what else don't they care about? Like, should I even be engaging them with their main service?
Mm-hmm. And that might not be a conscious thought that you're having, right? You might not be thinking, oh, I can't believe this thing is coming off. But
that's exactly what my thoughts sound like.
But again,
the butler inside me.
I say.
But again, subconsciously, every single time, and this is what I tried to teach people a lot, every single time that your brand is visually, audibly in contact with someone, it is building a relationship. And every single micro interaction builds up the overall relationship that a customer has with a brand. Mm-hmm. So if you give them more opportunities to have good experiences with your brand by having merchandise that makes them laugh, that makes them smile, that someone asks them about, every single micro, when you look in the mirror at yourself and you think you look great because this color, which I do with that monster shirt, I think I look great in that Monster Planet t-shirt. It's the best color. You know, every time I see myself in it, I'm building a stronger and stronger relationship. And I think everybody else, as they have their own favorite, you know, merch products, you see it and it makes you happy.
I have noticed, you know, now that I'm around well-designed merch, you know, now when I get something from a company that's not well-produced, you know, like the logo is really sandpapery or, you know, just like, you can tell it's not well printed. Now that I'm looking for that, my response to that shirt is negative. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so however many people out there now are educated to that extent, like you can create with this thing mm-hmm. that was supposed to be bridge building a negative association with your company.
Mm-hmm. It's all about trust. Mm-hmm. You know, why? I know I'm triggered again.
Every episode is called We're Triggering Mark.
Customers will ask all the time and clients will ask, why should I spend my money on merch? And my answer is your company not worthy of good merch, right? Is this not something that you actually think, you know, people would care about your brand? And that's almost an offensive question when I phrase it that way back to them. And I'm glad because they need to ask those questions. And they should already have asked those questions. If you are bringing something into the world and you care about your brand and it's your company, shouldn't you be the biggest champion of that? Shouldn't you want people to see how much it's worth and what and why you're worthy of trust, especially if you don't have an established brand? And if you think that you're wasting your money on something you don't need, that's a dangerous question. And that's not to say that every brand needs every piece of merch in the world, because you have to be very selective. And I think you can go very light and make it impactful and get something really nice that actually people would want to wear. We make Hydro Seed hats that people want to buy and they don't even care about Hydro Seed, right? Because they look beautiful and the quality is amazing. And that's a testament to a brand that actually cares enough about itself and its customers that they actually have people off the street asking them if they can buy it. And they just place a huge merch order for us.
They just placed a second round of employee uniforms, but then we're also working on a more retail centric line. So those conversations that they had out in the wild have now turned into, can we have a couple more retail designs? So we created this kicking grass and taking names since.
Oh, it's so cool.
2000 whatever, like Hydro Seed,
right?
And they freaking love it, and they're going to actually sell these and make money. Mm-hmm. And even the ones they're not selling that they're giving out, everybody's walking around doing what? Free advertising for their brand.
Yeah, and it's a path to community building, and that's
that's the next piece I wanted. Okay, you're so good.
Okay, sorry.
You're so good.
I stole it from you.
It's okay.
But that's been my favorite thing about us having our merch is that when I see people rocking one of our pins or wearing one of our shirts, like every time someone orders a piece of the merch, it excites me so much because I know that they are out there putting on Orange Nebula in the morning and it just there's something that's particularly exciting about the merch, sometimes even more so than the games for me. Mm-hmm. And I know I personally connect with a company more when I wear something with their name on it. Like if it's a nice enough shirt that I'm willing to wear it, mm-hmm. like I feel like I'm taking part in that company in a way that I otherwise wouldn't.
What I think is nice about it in the community building sense is that if you get clear enough on your brand values, you know, before gaining a community member becomes part of your community because they align with your values, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have as much to do with you as the brand as it does the person saying, this reflects me. And so I'm going to be a part of it too. So when somebody has the opportunity to wear a piece of merch, it represents them and they feel so good that they are known and seen and part of a community that also has shared values.
You just said that super well.
Good.
So feel good about it.
Okay. I hope I got it across.
Well, and that responsibility comes back to us mm-hmm. because if we want people to identify with who we are and we want them to connect with the part of themselves that aligns with what we are doing, we have to make darn sure that the merchandise that we're putting out in the world allows them to do that. Mm-hmm. If we say we are all about mindfulness, we're about, you know, top quality design, top tier everything, and then we slap our logo on some Port Authority shirt and give them to those, you know, people like, well, this doesn't represent the mm-hmm. thing that I'm connecting with.
I might wear this to the gym and empty. Cut the sleeves yeah. off, but this has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk about Johnny Cupcakes. Mm-hmm. Tell the world mm-hmm. about Johnny Cupcakes. Mm-hmm. Am I getting that right? Is it Johnny Cupcakes?
Yeah.
Why do we like that?
So this guy sells, you know, I think his shirts are $38, $38.99 mm-hmm. or $36.99. You know, there's, again, his shirts are decorated with, you know, all the bells and whistles, but he doesn't skimp on any of the packaging or any of the presentation of it. And what that's done for him is created a huge brand following. And
it's a t-shirt brand. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a t-shirt brand. And, you know, his retail stores, I don't know if he's got more than one now. He used to have several, but he's been tricking people and faking people out, hungry people. It's not a bakery, you know, it's a t-shirt shop. Uh-huh. So, but he's gotten real clever with his marketing and his approach. And this is all part of his brand as well. You know, his store has pastry cases that look like they're actually industrial bakery pastry so cases.
Awesome. And the t-shirts are in there
that are lit up with LED yeah. lights, but they're not, you know, it's obviously not refrigerated. And the t-shirts are stretched out on baking sheet trays. And so the whole thing is like a bakery theme.
Is his tagline, "Our stuff is sweet"?
It should be.
Yeah. Well, and then if you buy a shirt, you don't get it in a paper bag or a plastic bag. You yeah. get it in a pastry box.
I think you do in the retail, like point of purchase, mm-hmm. like
if you purchase right, it, yeah, if you buy it retail, online,
but yeah, it's, but still it's like, you know, bag,
but
I just got a shirt from him and, or from them and, you know, sticker that was thrown in there for free, which is cool. Mm-hmm.
And people might ask, why would I pay $38 for a t-shirt? Mm-hmm. And that's the wrong question because you're not paying for the garment. You're paying for the idea.
Yeah. It's like what Lacey identity, was talking yeah. about. You're,
it's really important
how you
question
feel about it. I identify with that brand and I want to represent it. And I know darn good and well, they get the shirt the same place we probably do. Mm-hmm. And it's all relabeled, et cetera, but there's still a higher perceived value because of the branding built into that t-shirt.
We're about to release a new yeah. one, a new Daffron creation, the Discover
Our
shirt.
Creation.
And if it's not out now, by the time you're listening, it's going to be out any second. We're waiting for the photo shoot. And
they are really nice. This
thing
shirts.
Is super dope. Yeah, it's got hem tags. It's got multiple print placements. I mean, this thing is well thought out. And thank you, Daffron, for your...
Well, it's a premium experience.
Talking it about is. The blanks, you know, like I mm-hmm. have historically always been one of those people that's like, yeah, all my shirts are from Goodwill. And I just want to, you know, have a wolf on it or whatever. And it'll look a Stonehenge shirt. I'm set. And and that's still awesome. But, you know, when I put on a nice shirt, the quality between our shirts and like another board game company or creative company's, you know, shirt that is a less expensive shirt, like the difference in the way that it fits and feels on your body and feels after three washes is mm-hmm. dramatic. I am no longer at all in the camp of, you know, who would pay that for a shirt, because you're buying the idea, you're buying the community, you're representing some part of yourself in the shirt, and it's flipping comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be selective, but buy something that reflects you and your values. Yeah.
All right. Can I share an observation? As we're coming to a close here, I'd like to share an observation about how much Daffron's exhalation has added to the heat in this room. Is it just his exhalation? Is it the body heat?
It's the girth. Like,
we have
the girth.
Like, is anybody else? Can you? Is the breathing now thick in here to anybody else?
Thick Daffron.
There's not a lot of circulation in here.
I'm like,
it is smoky. I've been blowing a lot of smoke.
The air, like, it feels a little moist to me. And I'm like, to be honest, I'm like, okay, I'm glad we're getting close to done because it's I can't do this anymore. I'm about ready to get out of this barn.
Human.
Okay. Are you guys ready to get out of the barn
I need
too?
Some food.
Okay.
D-Lock.
Anybody have anything else that
D-Lock's
they need to
good
share?
Looks. Just lighten this place up.
Well, it all started on November 24th, 1992.
Is that your birthday?
That is my birthday.
Oh, I like it.
What a coincidence.
Where was I?
Why?
Why?
Because that's when it all started.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly.
All right. Anybody else have anything that they want to make sure we get across?
Did we talk about toilets this episode?
Have now.
I don't think we did.
Check.
Check.
Okay.
There was a lot in the last episode to probably carry over to this episode.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's call it a day. I guess from everybody here, you can find us at orangenebula.com. Again, you can always sign up for our email newsletter there where we put out all the coolest things.
If that's have, yeah, coupons and
is it coupons or coupons?
I always say coupons.
Coupons.
Coupon. I have no idea now.
Coupon.
Now I'm overthinking it.
I actually call it coupons, dude.
Coupons.
Coupons, yeah.
Sometimes I call them coupons.
I'm a coupon guy. Yeah.
Whatevs.
Okay. So.
Discount slips.
On the email list, you'll be getting notifications of any new merch that's being put out. Anything
sneak
like
peeks.
That. Sneak peeks. On Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, you can find us. Our handle is at Orange Nebula. You know, you can pop on over to Board Game Geek.
We're there.
And we are there too. We aren't on Reddit. It's a horrible place. Don't go there.
We have been known to be in the Reddit
We've
space.
We've been there,
and
but we don't.
We actually really like Reddit. But
Reddit's great.
Okay.
We're all on Reddit under aliases, just spitting horrible, nasty political things.
Just don't go. Just no. Don't go to the bad places of Reddit.
That's all right.
You're good
Reddit.
To go.
All right. And let's call it a day.
Yeah,
sound
we
good?
Can do that. We can do that. Comment on this episode's Facebook post
yes.
if you have feedback
mm-hmm.
or other topics you'd like us to talk about.
Yep. Okay. Thank you all so much for your time this afternoon.
You're welcome.
We love you. We're grateful for you.
And you're welcome.
And have a wonderful time. And goodbye.
Bye.
Bye from Nebula.
Bye.
Hey,
Daffron, this is where our friendship ends.
Oh, yeah.
We're not friends, dude.
That's coworkers.
Oh, Lisa wasn't there
you
for
missed
that.
That
that's
one.
Right.
What?
Coworkers.
Coworkers.
We were at the.
We're not friends.
We were all meeting up with Sarah and then Viola mm-hmm. and everybody else. And I was like, you know, I just love spending time with you guys. You guys are my friends. And was it you?
Just Daffron's
really?
Like, Daffron's like,
is that
we're
really
not
what
friends,
we are, Derek?
Coworkers.
No, I said, is that really what we are, Derek? Are we friends?
And yeah, then Viola dish it right back. It was crazy. Uh-huh.
Only old people think of it that way, you know.
Thank
most
you.
Of us.
Thank you for noticing.
Most
I'm
of us who are younger, I
you're
think.
You're only as old as you feel and or you think.
Okay, well, what I'm
That's
trying to say
old.
Is.
I don't think old.
I don't know. I think our younger generation, our life and our work is so intermixed and we've never had anything different than that.
That's what I ended up saying was, you know, because we kept joking about it for the next like half hour periodically. Well, we're joking about this a lot, but I hope we're also not joking about this because you guys really are my only friends. This is getting really sad for me right now.
Exactly. Coworkers.
How are you, coworker?